Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. A group of protesters briefly interrupted Governor Mike Dunleavy's address today to the Alaska Federation of Natives Convention, drawing a rebuke from Will Mayo, one of the Federation's co-chairs. Alaska Native groups have criticized Dunleavy for his proposals to sharply cut government programs important to rural Alaska. And a few minutes into his speech today, protesters rose from their seats at the Fairbanks Auditorium, turned their backs, and held up their hands. Some of them began chanting, and one person banged on a drum. Dunleavy briefly talked over them until Mayo, the co-chair, stepped on the stage and cut off the governor's speech. He asked for respect. Dunleavy resumed his speech where he left off without acknowledging the protesters. Another Tanana Chiefs Conference official, Victor Joseph, followed Dunleavy's remarks by apologizing to the governor. A handout circulated by protesters before Dunleavy's speech asked convention attendees to stand, turn their backs, and raise their fists for 4 minutes to symbolize the $444 million that he vetoed from the state budget earlier this year. "Stand with Alaska Native leaders to show what we really think of Dunleavy's leadership," the handout said, adding, hashtag recall Dunleavy. Senator Lisa Murkowski is living up to her reputation as one of the few Republican senators likely to break party ranks to criticize President Trump on ethical grounds. Today, she weighed in on two events that raised questions about whether the president is using his office for personal gain. Alaska Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin reports.
Just after noon, acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney dropped a bombshell. He acknowledged the White House did hold up aid to Ukraine as part of a quid pro quo deal. Mulvaney says President Trump did it to pressure Ukraine to investigate a theory involving a Democratic Party server and the 2016 election. At the Capitol, a reporter asked Murkowski if it concerns her.
"Well, that's news to me. I had not heard that. Yes, absolutely, it's a concern."
Then she defined her concern.
"You don't hold up foreign aid that we had previously appropriated for a political initiative. Period."
Murkowski said she still needed to study exactly what Mulvaney said. Of course, the word political has several meanings. Mulvaney told reporters the deal was aid in exchange for a Ukrainian investigation into the 2016 election, not to benefit the president's reelection campaign.
"And I have news for everybody. Get over it. There's going to be political influence in foreign policy."
U.S. intelligence agencies have concluded Russia interfered in the 2016 election to help Trump and undermine trust in American democracy. The agencies have not verified evidence of a Ukrainian plot. Reporters also asked Murkowski about a second bombshell Mulvaney dropped. He announced President Trump plans to hold an international conference, the G7, at a Trump golf club in Florida. Asked if she thought that was appropriate, Murkowski answered before the reporter finished the question, "No." Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Most fluent speakers of the Tlingit language are elders, but the instructors of an immersion classroom in Juneau have high hopes to raise a new generation of Tlingit speakers. KTOO's Zoe Gruskin has the story.
Tlaik, dich, nuts, ach, sha, ach, hi, ach, ki, ach, hus, ach, ki, ach, hus, ach, ki, ach, hus, ach, sha, ach, hi, ach, ki, ach, hus, ach, wach, ach, gurk, ach, hey, ach, sha.
When you step inside the Hayukatungi Kudi classroom, two rules are immediately clear. Shoes off and Tlingit only, at least for the adults.
Hayukatungi Kudi, basically it means our language's nest or our language nest.
Dr. Ginny Mary Cruz is the lead instructor and administrator of the program. She didn't grow up speaking Tlingit. The language stopped in her family when her great-grandmother was sent to boarding school in Oregon. But when she started college at the University of Alaska Southeast, Cruz signed up for a Tlingit class, then another, and another.
And my advisor was telling me, "Well, you're probably not going to get a teaching degree anytime soon because you keep taking all these language classes."
Cruz took all the Tlingit classes she could and eventually earned a master's in education. But she says she still wouldn't claim to be fully fluent.
"No matter how much I learn, I'm still just a child in the language."
The fact is, she says, it's easier to learn a language when you're young, ideally very young. Most of the students in her immersion classroom are 3 to 5 years old. Cruz hopes by starting early, they can master Tlingit. The program is still getting off the ground. The money fell into place last summer when the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska received a $1 million federal grant to start a language nest. Hayukutungi Kuti opened briefly this spring and again this September. Currently, 14 students are enrolled in the program, and there's a wait list. Class is Tuesday through Friday, just in the afternoons, and the program will roughly follow the school year, with summers off. Along with Cruz, there are two more instructors and a birth speaker language advisor, Kahuklat, Florence Marks Shigley.
At home, we hardly ever spoke any English. One of the things that Grandma told us was, if you stop speaking your language, that means you're ashamed of who you are.
Shakely helps the other instructors with pronunciation and word choice. She also translates a lot of the teaching materials, like children's books and songs, a skill she first honed translating letters for her aunties. Shakely has taught Tlingit for years, often to adults. She says it's heartwarming to work with the youngest students.
Oh, gosh, they're just like little sponges. They don't have a hard time saying the difficult sounds that maybe the adults have a hard time saying. The children, they just spit it right out.
A major goal of the immersion classroom is to involve families. Parents and friends are invited to twice monthly family nights so they can get to know each other and learn a little of what their kids are learning. The instructors hope the families will keep practicing Tlingit at home. That commitment is something that initially worried Madeline Sobolev-Levy. She grew up in Juneau, but lived away for many years before moving back with her family. When Hayukutungi Kuti started accepting applications, she and her husband discussed whether to enroll their three-year-old in the language nest.
I kind of walked through all kinds of pros and cons with him, and he looked at me and my husband said, "Why are we living here if we're not going to put him in this program?" And I thought, well, I think you're right. Why did we move home if not to do this?
Her son has only been at the Tlingit immersion classroom for a few weeks, but Sobolev-Levy says he's already picking it up.
If I talk to him about the day, he doesn't always have a lot of Tlingit to speak to me, but then we'll be walking around the house and he'll start singing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star in Tlingit, or he'll start counting things, 1, 2, 3, or telling people he's nuts, he's 3 years old.
Another parent, Joy Demmert, hopes the language nest is just the beginning of her son's Tlingit education.
I'm looking forward to it progressing and blossoming and just being a footstep for him to be able to take classes all through high school and being able to graduate and become a fluent speaker.
At this point, many of those next steps don't exist. The future of the Tlingit language is far from secure. Hkine Lance Twitchell is an associate professor of Alaska Native Languages at UAS and a part-time instructor in the immersion classroom. He estimates the number of Tlingit speakers anywhere with a high-level mastery of the language is only about 10. Twitchell sees revitalizing Tlingit as a long road, but Hayukutungi Kuti, the language nest, gives him hope.
When you try to build these language nests, so you feel like you're doing the wrong thing because you're not ready, you're not prepared, you need more teachers, you need more materials. But when people see those babies start talking, it starts to shift things in ways that other things might not.
In Juneau, I'm Zoe Gruskin.
The Alaska Marine Highway System says ferry service will resume to British Columbia, but only on two dates. The Juneau Empire reported yesterday that the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities says service to Prince Rupert has been scheduled October 29th and November 25th. An official says the city of Prince Rupert will pay for officers to be present for the two trips. Alaska suspended the service October 1st after the U.S. and Canada failed to reach an agreement for Canada to provide armed security for U.S. Customs and Border Protection officials at an annual cost of about $188,000. U.S. Customs agents cannot carry weapons in a foreign country, and Canadian police officers are required at Prince Rupert Checkpoint, 117 miles south of Ketchikan. Kenai Peninsula legislators are expressing concern about a state plan to reduce snowplow service on the Seward Highway. KTUU reports the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities has announced it won't plow a significant stretch of the road from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. The department also will cut the number of snowplows available for daytime plowing. Republican State Senator Peter Michicki of Soldotna says heavy overnight snowfall can create serious safety issues. He and two other lawmakers in a letter to the department say heavy snowfall could delay essential freight. Department of Transportation spokeswoman Shannon McCarthy says the department has no choice after losing $750,000 in motor fuel tax funding. She says the highway may have to be closed at times to maintain public safety. A Nome official says an attorney hired by the city's insurance company is handling a claim by a former 911 dispatcher who says her colleagues at the police department failed to investigate her report that a man raped her in her home. Nome's interim city manager John Handelin says in a statement that the city is not commenting on communications with attorneys for the former dispatcher, Clarice Hardy. The statement comes 3 weeks after the American Civil Liberties Union accused Nome police of a systemic and disastrous failure to keep Native women safe from sexual assault. ACLU's Alaska branch made that charge in a letter demanding the city pay $500,000 to Hardy. The ACLU's action came 12 days after an Associated Press investigation on complaints by Alaska Native women that their reports of sexual assault were not investigated aggressively by Nome police. An Anchorage man charged with killing a woman in a Midtown hotel room last month now faces additional charges in connection with the death of a second woman, prosecutors announced today. Grand jury indicted Brian Stephen Smith, 48, on new counts of murder and tampering with evidence. The new charges are connected to the death of a 53-year-old, Veronica R. Abachuk, according to Anchorage Police Department. An escaped Alaska goat that eluded authorities for nearly 2 days has been caught after a hunt involving requests for public assistance and reported sightings shared on social media. Fairbanks Daily News Miner reported Wednesday that the goat was in the custody of Fairbanks North Star Borough Animal Control Tuesday night. The male goat was reported missing from its herd Monday morning. The State Department of Public Safety says two troopers transported the animal after the goat was caught by members of the public near a road, jumping into traffic and causing some concerns. The goat was named Curry by Facebook users who shared requests for information and updates more than 500 times. Officials say the owner may be willing to pardon the goat and find it a new home. And finally, we have a correction to a story we aired yesterday in this newscast about expansion plans at the Kensington Gold Mine. The story misstated the mine's waste rock proposal. The mine operators want to expand 3 waste rock storage piles and add a new one, not expand 2 and build 2. That's it for the KTOO News Update for Thursday, October 17th, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.